The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the High Spot Podcast on BodySlam.net. We are on the road to Double or Nothing. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. You can follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. And you can listen to the show where all podcasts are available. I'm talking iTunes, Spreaker, TuneIn, everywhere you can listen to the podcast. Support the crew and listen to our show. We're also on YouTube. Like and subscribe. And also on B Plus Player Radio and Shining Wizards Network. So much to get into, Trendsetter. Glad you're with me today. Like I said, on the road to Double or Nothing, we got a great guest lined up. Selena De La Renta from MLW. She is making waves in the world of professional wrestling. She will be our guest this week. Trendsetter, how you doing, man? What's going on?
What's going on right now, Jeff, is that we are getting ready to start talking about Double or Nothing. I mean, I can already start dreading the six-hour flight we're going to have to Las Vegas, being bumped into by the carts, waiting for our drinks to come in, you know, all that stuff. But we have that to look forward to. But you know what? It's kind of a somber note. You know why? Because I've just been really depressed right now of what I've seen in terms of the product of Raw and SmackDown. It's been really difficult for me, Jeff, to watch a Raw, to watch a SmackDown right now. It's starting to get really, really difficult, especially as we're building up towards Double or Nothing.
Everyone's got their solutions. I know how to fix it. I know how to make it better. And we talked about it last week, how as they're heading into October, where the Fox SmackDown Live deal takes place, you started seeing the September lineup, and of course SmackDown Live is in the middle of it. Friday night you will see SmackDown Live from 8 to 10. It's going to be a 2-hour show. So everyone thinks they can fix Raw, everyone thinks they fix SmackDown in the ratings. We're going to get into that too, Trendsetter, but we also will preview Money in the Bank. It is this Sunday, of course, so we'll talk about Money in the Bank. The two ladder matches to determine who gets the Money in the Bank for the men's side and the women's side there. And of course, you know the odds. If you win the Money in the Bank, you really do have a great percentage to become the next Universal or WWE Champion, as well as the Raw Women's or SmackDown Live Champion. So there you go. Money in the Bank preview coming up. But now, Trendsetter, let's get started with our top five headlines. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch made it official and posted their relationship on social media. It's been kind of not a secret. We kind of have had these ideas that they've been a couple. We saw them sitting together at the Hall of Fame, but again, what does that mean? They do a lot of that CrossFit together, and really, it's not a surprise. You work with each other. You do a lot of stuff. You hang around each other. It's going to happen, but I don't know if this was huge news that WWE had to post out, and they really did a good job posting it out on their social media, but congratulations to Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, but again, it's something I don't think we really all really needed to know or make a huge thing about.
Well, leave it to WWE to take advantage of a situation that everyone's been talking about. And, you know, once the cat's out of the bag, people just stop talking about it generally to begin with. So congratulations to Seth. Congratulations to Becky. You know, they're both now the top of the fields in their respective brands. And you know what? In this scenario, too, it's like, I don't understand, Jeff, in my opinion, why everybody's so always interested in the romances. Who's dating who? Who broke up with what?
It's that
what's
gossip,
going on
it's
backstage.
That TMZ thing.
How long have we graduated high school? It's that exciting for people nowadays. But anyway, congratulations to the couple who've been a couple for quite a while. Didn't think it was such a big story, but ultimately everybody wants to live vicariously through them. I guess even in the natures of love, they want to find a happiness with their WWE superstars.
Guys, go be part of the crew by checking out our High Spot Podcast wrestling store. It is available on prowrestlingtees.com/highspotpodcast. Support the crew. Buy a shirt. The summer's coming up. You want to look good in that charcoal gray shirt that only the High Spot Podcast can provide. You know, I saw something Trendsetter where they were mentioning how there's too many black wrestling t-shirts. So when we did this, we were thinking, what's something that we could get away with where, you know, it's not going to be too hot for the summer, especially if you don't buy the soft style, which is an extra $3.99, by the way, on prowrestlingtees.com/highspotpodcast. But if you buy the regular shirt, you want something breathable. And I think that the charcoal gray is a good shirt to buy, especially if you're a wrestling fan, you're going to buy something for the summer. summer, why not buy a charcoal brown High Spot Podcast t-shirt?
It sticks out. It's different. It's original. That's what we're all about.
And also make sure you follow us on our website, highspotpodcast.com. Trendsetter, Super Showdown has been announced. WWE said that Goldberg and The Undertaker will headline the Saudi Arabia show, followed by Triple H and Randy Orton and a 50-man battle royal. Man, I don't know. I thought Goldberg was done. I guess there's about 2-3 million reasons why return. And this is kind of a dream match if it was maybe 8 to 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. But, man, you're going to get Goldberg and The Undertaker. I don't know if that's enough to interest me to want to watch this event. You know, Saudi Arabia's got a lot of controversy. You know, even more stuff is coming out. You know, we don't get political here, but more stuff has come out about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, the WWE got paid a handsome amount here to do their shows in Saudi Arabia. It's not, thank God, the sands of time. It's going to be Super Showdown. So is this enough for you to be interested? I mean, Crown Jewel saw the return of Shawn freaking Michaels, and I still haven't even watched the event.
Well, I think you just said it there yourself, Jeff, when you just mentioned Shawn Michaels coming back from almost, what, 7 years of being away from the ring to come back, and yet we weren't interested in seeing that. It says a lot about the product in terms of how they're presenting it. And when you look at a dream match, like you said, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, would have been something, oh my goodness, you could have paid me, I couldn't have paid enough money for a ticket to see something like this. Just kind of shows you right now, in my opinion, honestly, and a lot of it could be in terms of, you know, the prince, and he wants to see certain people come back. I mean, unfortunately, he can't bring back Yokozuna.
Or Andre the Giant.
Or Andre the Giant.
Or Ultimate Warrior.
It's just the fact that you're reaching for these straws right now, man, and it just gives a bad look in terms of my opinion from a company standpoint. Now, again, they're being paid handsomely for it, so they're not going to complain. They're not going to fret. Sure, why not? I mean, Goldberg, like you said, has 1 or 2 million reasons to come back for one more match. But I think the most interesting thing of this whole thing, Jeff, ultimately for me will be who goes over on this one. Does Goldberg take a second straight loss? Does The Undertaker put him over? I mean, what's going to go on here? That's what I'm intrigued in. What's actually going to happen? Is it going to be a mosh of a
smosh.
Match, a smosh, whatever you want to call it? That's what I'm really interested in, the fact that these two have agreed to face each other. And now, will Bill Goldberg be the classic businessman where he'll be like, I got to go over on this guy. I can't end my career on a loss type of scenario. And will The Undertaker be, you know, cool hand Luke and say, you'll do what I tell you to do, kid, type of scenario. So that'll be interesting, but I'm not looking forward to it. But I will say this, though. Goldberg has got himself in great shape. And The Undertaker, last time we saw him when he tombstoned Elias, looked pretty good. So maybe expectations are low and we should be surprised, but it's not something I'm going to go out of my way to watch.
Me, personally, I mean, we've seen Triple H and Randy Orton a ton. I don't need to see it again. To me, that matchup at WrestleMania 25, they just don't gel well. Mm-hmm. The 50-man Rumble, I mean, there's so many Rumbles now. I could care less. So they win a trophy or something like that. No, thank you. I mean, I'm going to pass on this one. I get it. You know, they're getting paid a ton by the Prince. And listen, you know, if I was getting paid a ton as a company to do that, I would do the same thing. I'm not going to lie. I would sell out as well. And that's what WWE has done. They've sold out. That's fine. And Undertaker still gets a paycheck. They're keeping away from StarCast this year, so he won't be doing that. Mm-hmm. So he re-signed a new contract deal with the WWE. So I get it. It's, to me, shocking that Goldberg would come out of retirement. But again, though, you never say never in this business, Trendsetter. And when they're paying you that amount of money, and it's a one-time deal here, it's not a long-term commitment. It wasn't about him signing with AEW. That wasn't really the case, because there were rumors going around that it was a deal so that Goldberg could stay away from AEW. That never really was going to happen. So Goldberg returning, if this was 10 years ago, yeah, man, you're getting Goldberg and you're getting The Undertaker, the Attitude Era versus the Monday Night Wars versus Goldberg and WCW, but you know what? That's such a long time ago.
It makes me curious, if the Prince was a Sting fan and he requested Sting to face The Undertaker, we would finally see that matchup that we've wanted to see for so many years, Sting versus The Undertaker.
That's a great point.
Which is a match that Vince never wanted to happen.
Yeah, that's true. He never really envisioned Sting versus The Undertaker. And, you know, Vince, I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of things that you and I see that the wrestling fans see. And also, you know, Triple H has been one of those people that we're very much fans of. You know, at first we didn't like him because we thought he was burying talent when he was an active wrestler, when he was full-timer, especially in 2000, the Attitude Era. We know, you know, that he really didn't like Chris Jericho. We know that he kind of, like, derailed some of his pushes. RVD, same thing. So, you know, but as Triple H has evolved and he's become this backstage guy and how he's, you know, he's done with NXT, we've kind of respected him because he, out of everybody, is more in tune with us and what we want as wrestling fans. I don't think that the issue is creative. Here, everyone wants to blame creative. Oh my God, these guys are idiots. Who hires these people? I think they have the good ideas, but I think at the end of the day, it falls on one shoulder, and that's Vince's.
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately his say is the final word, whether he agrees with something or not. And, you know, not too long ago, certain writers, you know, got fired from WWE. And, you know, that was something, Jeff, in the past where you and I looked at it and said, we would love to write for WWE program. We would love that opportunity. But when we really look at the lifestyle of a writer in WWE where things change in the blink of an eye and scripts are being changed after, you know, you spend 5 days, 6 days on something, and all of a sudden in the last 10 minutes before it's supposed to go on, it changes all over again. That's a terrible life and hectic lifestyle to have. And to me, it's like, I understand things change in the blink of an eye, but what I fail to see is that Vince sometimes is very stubborn in what he wants, and then very stubborn in then what he doesn't want and change. And you're right, a lot of it could be, and people have debated about it before, and I'm sure they'll still continually debate about it now, has Vince lost the feel of what the audience nowadays wants? It seems like when we see Triple H and what he's done with NXT, he seems to be more in tune with what the fans want from all the great specials they've had and what he's done with NXT in terms of not just making it a quote-unquote developmental brand, but now taking it into a possible third brand where people will talk about it. Vince right now is the head of those decision makers, and for people that complain about creative, it all goes to head to one person, and they make the final call. So if you're going to blame anybody, not that we're pointing fingers here, but they're all pointing in one direction right now, it's got to be Vinnie Mac.
All right, trendsetter. So I'm going to do the, you know, game here with you. And you don't know about this, but I've done some reading, and I feel I'm going to pull my Conrad Thompson here. And I have a bunch of papers here.
Well, you know.
Well, chat me up here, trendsetter. So this is what we're going to do here. Now, I believe Triple H is the most frustrated person backstage in WWE. So there was a article on WrestlingNews.com. Let's credit them. And what they did was the latest Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show, right? And where a friend of the writer of writers from WWE called in. So it's three writers who currently write for WWE. And it was after the Monday Night Raw post show, which Wade Keller has his own podcast here. And, you know, Wade Keller, we met him, really one of the good dudes. So I'm just going to throw you some stuff that this person said. Now, again, this is just, again, speculation. It's from a friend. So, again, how much they really do know is up to you guys. But I want to see, trendsetter, every time I mention a statement, just say surprised or not surprised. And we'll see, you know, where this goes. And I think some of this stuff might even shock you guys, or maybe not shock you guys at all. But I think this was a good you know, good read here. So I will tell you a few things here from the interview, and you tell me if you're surprised or not. WWE's problems are not the fault of the writers. No one should rip on WWE creative. They have some of the most brilliant, unbelievable, cool ideas that I've ever heard of, he was told, and they're writing for an audience of one, and never forget that, and if not, you are out of here. So they're saying that it's all about one audience, and that's Vince.
I'm not surprised at all.
The most frustrated person in the back every single night is Triple H. He always takes especially the NXT guys under his wing. It looks like he's consoling them. It looks so much like he was the most frustrated person in the building every single night.
It doesn't surprise me. And just for the example, too, with all the stars that have been called up, two cases in point, Shinsuke Nakamura and Asuka, when you've built them up so much in your brand and then they're non-existent anymore, of course he'd be frustrated.
The wild card rule was not in the script on the morning of the show.
Doesn't surprise me.
Let's see here.
And not a very original idea, if you ask me, the wild card rule. So what was the point, like we talked about last week?
That was more the networks telling him, listen, you need to have some crossover. You know, how come, why does one show have Roman Reigns and the other one doesn't.
I understand, but he's so hell-bent on saying we got to do a superstar shakeup, and now because the networks are involved, let's do a wild card. Well, basically, you're just basically splitting yourself here.
See, to me, the brand split was to make new stars, and you had different staffs. There was a, remember back in the day when Heyman was writing for SmackDown, and that was the show, the wrestling show. You had the Heyman Six, which was Eddie, Kurt Angle, Edge, Benoit, you know, and so, you know, he had a lot of his players. Rey Mysterio was on that. So, you know, that was when it was truly a brand split. Now it really isn't. All right, trendsetter. So Vince wants suggestions from everyone, but it never gets on TV. 99 out of 100 times you want to come up with the idea for Vince and it won't be used.
Doesn't surprise me. The proof is in the product we're watching right now.
Let's see here. One writer is very close to quitting because he's so unbelievably unhappy, and many of the writers are paranoid and think that they are close to being fired.
Does it start with do-do-do?
Do-do-do-do.
It doesn't surprise me. I think we have a pattern here going on, Jeff. A lot of this stuff doesn't surprise me. I mean, does it surprise you right now, the frustration they have in this scenario? If you're constantly having to look over your shoulder, Jeff, would you want to stay there?
No. I mean, I've always wanted – that was always my dream job to work there, but I mean – look at this statement here. It's such a toxic atmosphere, and it's all because of one person.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. But we've been in toxic atmospheres before, Jeff. We still are in sometimes. And it weighs down on you, seriously, especially when it's pointed towards one individual.
Check this out, Trendsetter. When Neville walked out, there was a crazy shouting match, and he flipped out on Vince McMahon, and that was the last time they saw him. The writers praised Neville for being so easy to work with.
Doesn't surprise me. Neville didn't seem to be somebody who was very difficult, very open to ideas, but again, when all the ideas are shot to one person and they're rejected and shot down, it's discouraging.
All right, here's one too. The on Sami Zayn. That's not Sami Zayn's promos. That's Vince McMahon talking through Sami Zayn.
It's hard to say because he's very convincing in his delivery of Sami, so I'm sure that's what Sami thinks as well. But no, it wouldn't surprise me if that's Vince kind of shouting out his own frustrations toward the audience. But you know what? The difference is, Vince, you should be saying it yourself. You shouldn't have somebody else tell it for you.
All right, just a few more here. Andrade went into Vince's office and asked for a legit push. Vince looked at him and said, "Huh, learn some English, pal, and get back to me." Andrade spoke some English last week, and he's been taking English lessons. What do you think?
Doesn't surprise me. There's always been the situation, whether it be Andrade, Jeff, or Shinsuke Nakamura, Asuka, Finn Balor. Seems like anybody, maybe the exception might be the man right now with Becky Lynch. Anybody who has a certain accent or doesn't speak the English language perfectly to a T, kind of like I'm having problems talking right now, does not get a push or does not be looked at as a credible superstar.
The writers listen to podcasts and they hear fans bashing them. It breaks their hearts.
I don't believe that. Yeah. If you have thick enough skin to work for Vince McMahon, whatever podcast, whether it be the High Spot podcast or any other podcast, bash
that's
you.
That's the one they listen to.
Yeah, you shouldn't worry about that breaking your heart. How about Vince firing you? That should be the one thing you should be concerned about. So that surprised me.
And finally, the Firefly Funhouse, which we'll get to because that's a headline, is all Bray Wyatt's idea. Bray is described as an absolute genius, and he helps other wrestlers with their promos. He's one of the best guys in the locker room.
Not surprised. What I'm surprised then, that was his whole idea and it got approved? Wow. He really must have some clout or finally got somebody to listen to him, because since he started when he came from NXT and became the Bray Wyatt that we know of previous to now, none of the things were working for him. So if this was his idea, and a lot of people saw the first skit and were completely against it and thought this was so dumb and so stupid, and then are finally seeing it evolve itself, you know, huge, huge kudos goes out to Bray Wyatt.
And here's a little bit of a tidbit. Some of the writers believe that Road Dogg will eventually end up in AEW.
No, doesn't surprise me.
He's taking a hiatus. Of course, Billy Gunn is an agent there for AEW, so not surprising there, too.
Well, Road Dogg's shown frustration, too, in terms of things not being, you know it's a dictatorship in WWE. People don't want to kind of believe it. People like to think, oh, we're always open to suggestions. We're always open to new ideas. but it's a dictatorship because if the ideas aren't approved by one particular person and they don't agree with it or see your vision, you're not going to do it and you're done, basically. So the likelihood of AEW or just any other promotion, Ring of Honor or, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling or Impact, is more inviting to somebody because you're like, okay, at least I'm going to be heard and some of my stuff is actually going to, you know, reach the surface.
Besides the whole Rey Mysterio, Dominic, and Samoa Joe angle, which has been entertaining because it is actually a storyline, the next thing that entertains me is the whole Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse. It's a shocking portrayal of Wyatt's new character gimmick. I love it, Trendsetter. I got chills when I saw it. I got goosebumps on top of goosebumps. Man, I hope they do Bray Wyatt right here because he's thought of a great idea. The shock value of the first vignette was awesome. Where it goes, we don't know, but man, they really, if it's all on Bray, I hope they really give him 100% chance for this to succeed, because I like it.
At the level of success for Bray Wyatt depends now on the terms of what he's done in terms of reinventing his character. He's great. He has done an amazing job. It has been a success from originally people really going against it, but they were still talking about it, so it was still popular in the mouths of a lot of the new fans. My biggest concern, and as we say, we'll wait to see where this leads, is we hope that if this is a new reinvention of what Bray Wyatt wants to be, that it is somewhat successful in terms of giving him the ability to be more creative out there. So it's not necessarily the same things we've heard over and over again, and then the end result wasn't what we needed to be. Because we'll still go back, Jeff, to WrestleMania 30 and say he should have been John Cena. That was huge for him in terms of his career, and then it was a downward spiral from that point on. Hopefully this one leads to a more successful in-ring return.
It's going to have me want to watch Raw the next week. It's one of the few things that makes me want to watch Raw. It's done well. Bray Wyatt is very creative. And if what this writer says about, or one friend of the writer says this about Bray Wyatt, that he helps a lot of the wrestlers' promos and he's brilliant, I got to believe it too, because I think that he's doing a heck of a job with this. And I just want to see where it goes. And I want to see them actually believe in this character. Austin Aries signs with MLW, Trendsetter. People say it's a good move, a bad move. And I'm like, what does MLW have to lose? Nothing.
They don't have to lose nothing, but get a couple more headaches right now because when you deal with the personality of Austin Aries, he's very strong-minded, likes things his way, gets very stubborn. We see what happens when he doesn't agree with certain things and how he acts up too. To me, they have nothing to lose, Jeff, but at the same time, Jeff, if you can avoid a headache from happening, although you know the payoff might be good, we know what the end result is, the payoff on the other side of it. So to me, if you're MLW, you're right, you have nothing to lose, but same time, you're adding maybe not necessarily a distraction, but adding a headache that you don't really want to have.
All right, Trendsetter, one thing that I was always taught is you never keep a lady waiting. So without further ado, Trendsetter, we're going to talk to one of the hottest commodities in MLW. She is an executive producer now. She's also she's the more of an advocate for the Lucha Libre wrestlers like La Parca and El Hijo de la Parca, and also Low-Key as well. She is none other than Selena De La Renta, and she joins the High Spot Podcast to talk about everything MLW, and she's on right now. All right, Trendsetter, MLW Fusion airs every Saturday night at 9 p.m. on BN Sports. And joining us right now is the Empresaria of Promociones Dorado. Joining us right now is Selena De La Renta. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Awesome. And who's got it better than you right now, Selena? First of all, executive producer, congratulations on MLW. And what I want to talk about, I know you've already heard the congratulations, but how important do you think it is in wrestling today to, if you're a talent, to not only just, you know, focus on character development, but also put your hat into different aspects of the business, like being a producer and working in creative and just putting your, you know, getting knowledge in every aspect of wrestling right now?
Well, I think that's important in everything in life. If you have a plan A, you should have a plan B, C, and D. And I believe that the more that you try to become an asset to any company, the more valuable you'll become to everything. I started as a professional wrestler, and then I moved to the management position. And then from there, different opportunities came up. And I know that it was because I was doing a little more than I could do. So instead of just showing up, doing my job, I actually go home and I continue to do research and try to see how can I get better. I go to college and talk to my professors and say, hey, I did this in wrestling, and this worked great with the crowd, this didn't. What would you have done different? And I go to professionals, and I'm always trying to find what else can I do so that I can make an impact in this company or in this industry.
Selena, with that being said, a lot of things that you do are huge representations of not only your hard work, but what you hope to represent to others to get their perception of you. When you look at MLW and what you do, not only from what you've done in the ring, but now what you're doing as an executive producer, what do you hope it represents in terms of your work when people watch it for the first time?
Well, So I don't really work hard because I want the people to perceive me one way or another. Quite frankly, in my character, sometimes I say things and I do things that I know they're not going to be liked by the public. But what I really am focused when I show up to work is, who do I want to become? Who do I want my mom to look at and say, this is my child? Who do I want my sister to say, this is my sister? I want to be that person that my family is proud of and that I definitely am proud of too. It's more of a personal than what people will see.
You know, when you ask a lot of people that get into wrestling, what is the moment that they were watching, whether it was a match or a specific moment, and they're like, that's when I want to be part of wrestling. That's where I want to be a wrestler or get involved in it. And for you, who's watching Total Divas, and you thought that you wanted to be like that, just talk about a little bit of who exactly on the show was that inspired you, or was it just all of them in general?
Well, I remember the exact moment that I decided that I was going to go and be a professional wrestler. And it was, I think it was Brie Bella telling Nikki, but it could have been the other way, that she was like, you are one of the biggest athletes in the world. And she was going through, it's definitely Brie to Nikki, because it was something personal with John Cena not wanting to get married or something. And I'm like, I can relate. Men never want to do what you want. And then when she said, you're one of the biggest athletes in the world, I felt like one day when I'm going through like really hard times, I want to be able to look at my life and say, I'm one of the best in the world. So this doesn't really matter. So it was more of it kind of pivoted the way I was thinking completely. So it was a great moment. Definitely. That's when.
Speaking of those moments, Selena, when you look at the world of professional wrestling, Jeff and I have spoken about it several times, how last year and this year seems to be a huge boom in the world of professional wrestling, and a lot of it has to do with the way it's distributed now, with the way people can view it now, with social media being such a powerful tool. Now you can go anywhere, go to YouTube or any type of social media platform, and you can see pro wrestling. How vital is it now for somebody who's in the business now, or somebody who's trying to make a name for themselves, to get themselves established and get themselves credibility?
Well, social media is huge in every industry, not just professional wrestling. I feel that if you don't have social media, you are that person that's living under the rock, and not literally the rock, under a rock. So sometimes we just say, oh, maybe it's because I'm on YouTube, but it's more about the hustle and, hey, let me try and do this different. Fans like this, let me do a little more. And I think that if you don't have social media, there's no other way that you can do it unless you work on television or you have a friend in the newspaper that can promote you. But still, the way to get bigger is by having more eyes on your product. And social media is definitely one of the bigger ways to do it.
Selena, you obviously come off very confident. You come off like you know what you want. And it's probably one of the most intimidating things for a guy is a woman who knows what she wants and, you know, takes control. How close is your character on screen to off it?
Well, it's very close. Like, Selena's not really a character. It is more of an amplified version of me. I definitely am not the type of person that if you, wet my shoes, I'm going to go and burn your house. That's definitely a thing my character would do. But I am definitely the type of person that if you wet my shoes, I'm going to yell at you and tell you, hey, better luck next time. Like, don't do that again. So I'm definitely like a strong person. I have a strong personality, but I'm actually very nice as well. I try to, you know, to give you my honest answers and in life in general. And I try to not hurt your feelings rather than how Selena would do it. So it's very similar. I probably do think majority of the things Selena say, but in my personal life, I'll never treat anybody like that because I know better.
Well, I know your question, how nice and sincere
you
are.
Yeah, you don't mess with you on your in character. I definitely don't want to mess with you, Selena.
Yeah, I think you've intimidated Jeff enough right now, so that's why I'm taking over here for a brief second, though. You know, something I've always admired, Selena, is not only obviously your kindness and sweetness, which most people don't get to see that often on camera, but also your work ethic. It's amazing how somebody like you has learned those values at a young age, which most people, you know, at this stage in their life are still trying to figure things out. In your case right now, as this journey approaches itself, are you able to see things from different perspectives? Because you obviously grew up watching this. You're a fan. You're somebody who's intrigued in it. Now you're in it. Are you able to see it from both sides of the perspectives and kind of find an even balance for yourself?
Well, I think I definitely see wrestling in a very different way. Sometimes you grow up wanting to be something, and that clouds your judgment when you want to make business decisions because you are being a mark for yourself. So I grew up wanting to be an actress. I wanted to be a singer, a dancer, a model, a screenwriter, any of those five. And I am not any of that right now. I am a professional wrestler or a professional, I don't know, what would you call it, sports promoter. And I think I lost what your question was. Hold on.
My question was, when you see it from the perspective when you wanted to dive into it and having the type of perception of what it was like to get into it, and now you're in it, are you able to see both sides of it and find an even meaning? Because sometimes, for example, people who are fans, they want to do it because they love it, and then they're in it, they realize the business aspect of it changes their perception of what it once was. Like, you pull the curtain back, basically. Okay. Have you been able to find an even balance?
So when I was in the other mindset, to the point that I was trying to make, when I had that mindset of wanting to become a star, I would always be like, well, I'm the best at this. I'm the best at that. I am this, and I am so good because I've wanted it for so long. And sometimes people think I want this so long that I am the best because I've wanted it so long. And when I met wrestling, it was more about, everybody here has had this dream forever, and they know better because it was not my original dream. And it definitely got me in that mindset where I thought everybody was better than me, and I had a lot to prove. So I think I was always trying to find, how can I be better? How can I be better? How can I be on that level? How can I be on that level? And then I understood that in any career that you pick, you're not the best because you've had the longest dream. You're the best because you worked that hard. And definitely joining wrestling has changed my mindset in a way. And I get to see it from different perspectives because I surround myself with very important people in wrestling. So I have LA Park that can give me the eyes of a veteran. I have Loki as well, that they definitely have been doing this forever, and you see the commitment, because who else can say, hey, I've been on television for 20 years in the same industry, and I'm still making money, and I have this huge fan base, and I'm not going anywhere. They have a guaranteed job. So I have people like that. I have Conan, I have Kurt Bauer, who is the CEO, I have Mr. Saint Laurent, the vice president. So I get to pick the minds of the greatest people that I can surround myself with. So definitely, I think I have a different mind, thanks to them.
So obviously, when you think of wrestling, you kind of associate it to, you know, theatrics, and you need to have that presence. You obviously have that. You get to pick the minds from Jim Cornette, from Kurt Bauer. You know, and as far as a manager aspect, or as far as somebody representing the wrestlers today, someone that, you know, obviously right now is a top advocate is someone like Paul Heyman. Any thoughts on if you study a guy like Paul Heyman and what he does in the ring and how he talks and how he relates to the crowd?
Honestly, I look up to him. He is phenomenal. He's been doing this forever, literally forever. He's been on top of it. To me, he is the best. And that's the person that's my competition, in my opinion. If I want to beat anybody, it's him, because I think he is the best.
Also, with the women's revolution and the women have done so many things, and you obviously have done the first as far as, you know, executive produce a wrestling show. You've also done play-by-play, Spanish analyst. Which have you found the most fun?
Well, being executive producer has definitely been the most fun because I get to be the puppet master. And as we know, I love to be in control. And it's definitely my favorite experience. I got to change the catering because we had disgusting pizza before. I got to change the lights. I got to change the colors, play with the music. I got to tell, you don't get to be here today. And I got to say, you do get to be here. So it's very fun when you're in command and you get to call the shots and people are pretty much useless. It's pretty much what you say goes. And I love that I'm able to have my dictator mentality in a way, and I get to apply it in my job. That was my favorite.
You know, Selena, sometimes, you know, when you run that kind of that fashion, a dictatorship, you're going to have some people that kind of don't follow the fold. And yeah, you've had your issues with Sammy Callahan and Mance Warner. Any predictions or preview what's in store for them coming in future episodes?
Well, the thing is that if you run against me, it's not really like me versus you type of deal. It's like you messed up. Like I don't ever cut somebody off for no reason. You definitely must have done something. And the reason why Sammy Callahan no longer works for me is because I gave him a task and he couldn't do it. And then after he didn't do it, he came back to disrespect me and ask me if I could give him the money that I promised him. Well, no. The money was if you do what I asked you to do. So it's not really like people cross me for any reason because I give the money to the people that do their job. Like I have people on my side at all times and everybody has a price and I'm willing to pay as long as you're willing to do your job. But if you really run against me, it's what you against the five people I have on TV and the other ones that you don't even know. So it can get really, really dark, really fast. I'm a very powerful woman.
What are the requirements for you to even be interested or want to represent a future client? What requisites must they meet from Selena De La Renta?
So sometimes people ask me, what is the difference between a manager and me that I'm showcasing talent? So when I am picking the people that I'm going to showcase, I try to make sure that it's somebody that I don't have to tell you what to do. I don't want to hire an idiot. I want somebody that can do what they're told and period. They don't ask questions. They do what I ask and they do whatever it takes to get to do what I ask for. So when I pick a wrestler or just a person in general to join Promociones Dorado, I usually pick people that are street smart, book smart, and that don't really need me to carry them and hold their hand through the match and tell them, hey, don't let him hit you in the back of your head. That's not safe. Or like, you know, I don't really need to tell you. If I hire you, it's because you know what to do.
And Selena, obviously great points there too. Obviously you represent a lot of Lucha Libre athletes. And of course, unfortunately the news last week of the passing of Silver King in the Ring. Did you ever come in contact with him? Do you have any stories, anything like that? Or what was your reaction to the news?
Unfortunately, I was not able to meet him. I can't tell you anything about him because I didn't have that pleasure of knowing of him until I heard of his death.
Really, really sad thing too. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. But another thing too is, like we're talking about the, you know, women's revolution or the boom in wrestling period. How great is it to be in this business right now in 2019? And also, you've done a lot of firsts and you're only 22 and we're not even towards the end of the year. What's another thing that you want a first of here in pro wrestling for MLW?
I wouldn't tell you what I want to be the first at, because if I do that, then some other girl's going to run and try and do the same, which already happened. So I'm not even going to get into it. But I can tell you that I certainly would love to become the spokesperson of minority groups. I know that we currently have the women's revolution, and I think that's fantastic that finally women and men are being equal in professional wrestling. But I think that there is more discrimination towards different people than just the women. I think that certain ethnicity groups need to be represented better. And I think the gays should have equal opportunity, the transgender, the celibates, anybody, even the different religions. I feel that even though in 2019 we are moving towards a better world that is pretty much near no discrimination, I don't see it the same way. Speaking for the Latinos as well, right now, thanks to MLW, the Latino wrestlers have had a better platform to showcase what they have, and I feel like I'm the perfect person to help out the variety of people that we have out there.
Talking to Selena De La Renta, MLW Fusion airs Saturday nights at 9 p.m. on BN Sports. And we want to thank you so much for your time, Selena. Just to wrap up here, just want to go with a little bit of some lighthearted questions to kind of ease the close to this interview. And so my question to you is a go-to song at the gym that you pop on your phone, then you start off when you go work out.
I'm a rap fan, so I always listen to The Ringer by Eminem.
Yeah, that gets you started?
Yeah, because I know all the words, and I feel like, yeah, I'm real gangster after it.
Any favorite TV program that you have that you go to? I know everyone's a Game of Thrones fan, and everybody can't wait till the series finale, you know, next week. But are you a fan of any shows, or do you recommend any shows out there to your fans?
Well, actually, I watched Game of Thrones until season 5, and I haven't really watched much after. But Black Mirror is an amazing show, and it really messes with your mind, and Westworld as well. I really like shows about life mysteries, and those definitely trigger my brain.
Now, you come from a theater background. Any plays that you like, or any specific aspect of the theater that you like?
That's a tough one. I've watched a couple plays, but honestly, I haven't been impressed. Oh, well, there is this one play that I watched clips of, which was Cinderella in Broadway. And I think one of the most amazing things is when they did the dress change. I'm all for outfit changes, but she did it on stage within 12 seconds. And that was impressive to me.
Wow, that's crazy to do when you're performing, and to get that quick wardrobe change is crazy. And then also, too, are you someone that wants instant gratification, or if it's like a TV show, do you go on for the spoilers? Or if a movie is coming out that you want to see, will you go instantly on the social media to find out what the spoilers are, or do you want to not know?
I'm looking forward to seeing the new Disney Lion King edition that it's like, CGI, so all the animals are going to look real. I'm definitely looking forward to anything Disney or anything ABC. They're amazing.
Yeah, Aladdin's coming out too, so that should be interesting as well. Selena.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for that either.
Selena, thank you so much. Appreciate your time again. And also, so you had pop figures, and the pre-orders sold out, and now you have to take another set of pre-orders because the first ones just went off the pre-order list so fast?
Yes, that's correct. I have like 4 more pop figures available for pre-order of that series. And I think within 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to have a series 2 of the pop figures. So,
wow. Yeah. You're a hot commodity, Selena. And thank you so much for coming on the show. And hope to do this again down the road.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right, Trendsetter, that was Selena De La Renta. Man, she has got a bright future. Only 22 years old, man. Unbelievable. And, man, she has got a bright future in this business.
There's no question, man. She's a woman that knows what she wants. She says what's on her mind, and she's not afraid to say it and call things as it is. Tremendous amount of respect. And also, don't cross this lady, folks, because you won't end up on the other side of it.
And I'm telling you, she's intimidating, and there's nothing more intimidating on a guy when you meet a woman that knows what she wants, when she's confident, man, if you can't do that, if you're insecure, it's not going to work, man. And so, obviously, Selena De La Renta is amazing, and you can catch her on MLW. You can catch her on MLW Fusion every Saturday night at 9 p.m. on BN Sports Trendsetter. And the interview is brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. Check out the entire summer fashion line, including brand new t-shirts and women's shirts. You got to go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Let's preview Trendsetter WWE Money in the Bank. It is this Sunday in Hartford, Connecticut. Oh, lovely, beautiful Hartford, Connecticut at the XL Center, Trendsetter. And just real quick, let's go through the card. Who wins and who loses here? The Universal Championship is on the line. Seth Rollins defends the title against AJ Styles. I'm thinking that we're going to get a AJ Styles heel turn sooner or later, I think. But still here, I think Seth Rollins comes out the victory.
I would agree. I think it's a great setup for that actually to happen with AJ Styles and the way they've built up Seth Rollins so much, especially after defeating Brock Lesnar. I don't see him losing the title. I see Seth Rollins retaining it at Money in the Bank.
Listen, there's sometimes I get worried about where exactly is the next opponent for a certain champion, but I think that the Kofi Kingston push has been well done. I don't think, you know, Kofi Kingston lost anything because you're worried about that WrestleMania hangover and who his next opponent will be, but Kevin Owens has done a tremendous job as being that foil for Kofi Kingston. One thing about Kofi is a lot of people criticize him about whether or not you can take him seriously as a champion with that gimmick, but he's all business when he gets in the ring, and that's why I think he's a credible champion. I think that Kofi Kingston will come out here victorious, and I think that Kofi Kingston moves on, and we get the New Day, and Kofi Kingston walking away still WWE champions.
Yeah, Jeff, I would have to say, unfortunately, I agree with this one. Not because you're saying what you're saying, is that, you know, the mere fact that we have Kevin Owens, who came back from a long layoff, having both knees taken care of, and now coming back from you know, seems like he was in purgatory for a while after he initially challenged Daniel Bryan, and now the mere fact that he has done a heel turn, he's gone 100% 180, and now I'm just like a little down. That's the same thing again. Kevin Owens just ends up falling short, but yeah, I see Kofi retaining right now from similar to what I said about Seth Rollins. They've invested this much, at least right now, currently, and they're saving, I think, for a weighted return from Big E to see what happens with Kofi Kingston in the championship. So I see Kofi retaining the title.
Roman Reigns versus Elias. I'm going to go Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no question about that. Good. Thanks for showing up, Elias.
Raw Women's Championship and the SmackDown Live Women's Championship will be defended by the man, Becky Lynch. She takes on Lacey Evans for the Raw Championship and takes on Charlotte Flair, defending it, the SmackDown Live Women's Championship. Now, is there going to be shock value? Could Becky defend both titles, but still the winner of the Women's Money in the Bank cash in on Becky? Could she have three title defenses that night? That would be shock value right there. But if we're just going to go on nobody cashing in these two matches, I still think that somebody's going to walk away as a brand new champion. I hope it's not Charlotte. Lacey Evans is the one that I'm going to point to because she has that it factor, but I still don't know if they're going to push that button on Lacey. So I'm going to go here in a shock. I'm going to go the man. Defends her championship, both of them, and still walks away as Becky Two Belts.
Well, this is where I'm going to have to disagree with you, Jeff, because although I will agree to the point where I feel Becky will successfully defend both championships, I feel she'll be defending her title a third time, meaning the winner of Money in the Bank, the women's ladder match, will cash in that same night on Becky Lynch. So she will not be walking out with both titles. She'll be walking out with two victories, but she'll be walking out with no two belts. So I guess we can call Becky no two belts after Money in the Bank.
Well, I mean, at least Seth's going to have his Universal Championship, so it won't be for loss. But they can still do belt, but yeah, so okay, so that's our prediction there. All right, and now we go to the U.S. Championship. It is on the line. Samoa Joe defends against Rey Mysterio. I think the question is, what role will Dominic play in this? I'm going to go here in a little bit of an upset. I think Dominic gets the win for Rey. We get a new U.S. champion, and then Samoa Joe takes that out on Dominic. That's how I see it going, whether it's at Money in the Bank or the next night on Raw. But I think we're gonna get a new U.S. champion in Rey Mysterio.
I say Samoa Joe is victorious here. Dominic will play a role in it, but the role will be costing his father the championship. I have Samoa Joe walking out still U.S. champion.
The pre-show, the Cruiserweight Championship is on the line. One of the least anticipated matches is not the fault of these guys, but it's going to be Tony Nese defending against Araya Daivari. And listen, I don't watch 205 Live. I like to say it's the best show on the network, but you know what? I just really don't know. I'm going to say that Tony Nese winning at WrestleMania was kind of a shocker over Buddy Murphy. He moved to SmackDown. So I'm going to say Tony Nese wins, but this is a matchup that I really couldn't tell you, you know, who's got the advantage here. But I'm just going to say that Tony Nese is defending it since winning at Mania. I'm going to go with Tony Nese.
I'll do the same thing, too. I don't know in terms of the storylines that are going on to be invested in something like this, unfortunately. And like you said, it's not the fault of the two individuals in the match itself. It's other avenues that are causing it to happen. But, yeah, in this case, I would have to go with the champ retaining his championship.
One of the least talked about Cruiserweight Championship matches, and it's on the pre-show. So, steel cage match, The Miz versus Shane McMahon. This is a tough one here.
Oh, I have to say his name right.
Who?
Shane McMahon's name.
Oh, the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
Yeah, that doesn't get old.
This is a guy, honestly, that I think he's going to be a future WWE champion down the road at the end of 2019. Just because he's that full of himself.
Who, Shane McMahon?
Oh, I'm telling you, man.
I thought you were going to say he's going to be a future quadriplegic because he puts his body through so much punishment, especially a steel cage.
Luckily, it's a cage and not a Hell in a Cell, so
he can still jump on top of it.
We don't know what will happen here, but you got to believe that The Miz is going to come out on top. I just got a feeling. I don't really want to see them prolong this feud anymore. It's kind of gotten stale. Again, this is the
kind of.
Miz goes to Raw. He thinks he's done with Shane, but no, this carries over into Raw, like the whole Miz and Dean Ambrose feud that carried over onto Raw. I don't like it. I hope it ends soon, and I'm going to go with The Miz defeating the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
Yeah, I see it going too.
I don't want to see his dad. I don't want to see his dad.
I don't want to see Miz's father. I don't want to see Shane's father. I want these two just to finish this rivalry, get it done and over with. Miz coming out on top, ending this feud, and just moving on to other things. Please, guys, move on.
All right, now we get to the nitty-gritty here, the men's Money in the Bank. Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, who got in because Braun Strowman lost to him in a Falls Count Anywhere matchup. Who did Braun Strowman piss off in the back? You know, that's the main question here, Trendsetter. But you got Sami Zayn now in for Braun, Drew McIntyre, Andrade, Ricochet, Ali, Corbin, and everyone's favorite Baron Corbin, and Randy Orton, Trendsetter. Your pick here.
I would have to say Baron Corbin. I'm joking, not Baron Corbin.
You joke, but it could be reality.
It could be reality, but I really feel, honestly, in my gut, as much as, you know, WrestleMania wasn't a welcome home party for Drew McIntyre in terms of how he was getting billed as this, you know, this psychotic machine as he is right now, a Scottish psychopath. I really feel this match is more destined for Drew McIntyre, for him to come out on top as the Money in the Bank winner. And he's, you know, we've talked about before, Jeff, he has this look about him. He has this way that he carries himself. I think right now he is being built for that run that's going to lead him to a championship right now.
Would you say Drew's been kind of disappointing because he can't get the job done? He can go a certain pace, but he can't get over the Roman Reigns hump.
You're right, he can't get over the Roman Reigns hump.
But he doesn't have to face Roman Reigns in this matchup, right?
He doesn't have to face
him. I get it. Drew's a great pick, but I'm going to go Andrade here. Andrade,
really?
He's got it going on. He's learning the Inglés. He's got Charlotte Flair by his side. He also got Zelina Vega, too. I'm going to go on the Andrade bandwagon here, and I'm going to give him a chalupa and say that he gets the win here. He wins the Money in the Bank.
Speaking of chalupas, Jeff.
No, speaking of chalupas, the Women's Money in the Bank, you got, oh my God, let me tell you something.
Okay.
Alexa Bliss on top of that ladder did something to me on Monday. I don't know what. Probably what Jack Swagger said when he won after his matchup at Bellator. Holy crikey. Did you see that last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I have to see it. Oh, now I have a reason to watch Raw.
Oh, man, the way she got up on that ladder, trendsetter. Damn. She can take my money in the bank anytime she wants. So you got Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, almost said Dana Warrior, Natalya, Ember Moon, Bailey, and, of course, Trinity.
Took you a while to say that one.
Yeah, so
you're still thinking about Alexa Bliss. Well, dude, you don't even have to ask the question. We know who you're going for. You're going for Alexa Bliss, too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, Alexa Bliss.
I'm not going for Alexa because of what she did on the ladder. I'm just going for Alexa Bliss because right now, if you look at each individual woman in this Money in the Bank ladder match, none of them stick out to me in terms of, oh, they're going to have momentum with this going forward. I say Alexa right now. She's been injured for a while. She's been on the shelf. And don't think about shelves and ladders right now, Jeff.
Keep talking so I can show you the pick.
I would say Alexa right now is primed to have that run again.
Oh, she's primed already. Right.
And I see her walking out as Miss Money in the Bank again.
Look at this trendsetter.
That is very nice.
That is so sexy. All right, so I think Alexa Bliss is going to come out on top. Oh, boy, I'm just getting myself into a corner here. Yeah, I think Alexa Bliss will win Money in the Bank. Listen, Dana Brooke is a good story. Ember Moon pulling for her. Bailey could do it, though. I think she's well, due here. But I'm going to go Alexa Bliss and Trendsetter. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss? All right. So we're both on it. So we got Alexa Bliss. So, guys, that is your Money in the Bank preview. It happens this Sunday. So are you looking forward to Money in the Bank?
Yeah, to an extent.
I mean, because whoever wins here, and I think that they're going to try to do some shock value here to this Money in the Bank here. I think you've got 10 good matches. And
I find it funny that the U.S. title is on the line, yet the Intercontinental title is not on the line, and Finn is in the ladder match.
Yeah. You give Finn any realistic shot here?
I think I'll have a good showing, and it would be good, but he's not going to win. That would be a good shock value that he wins the Money in the Bank ladder match and is still the IC champion. Has that ever happened before? I don't think so. A current champion wins the title of the Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah, so right before the pay-per-view, you can find our picks. We'll post them up there on Twitter of who the trendsetter and I have. It's really much agree on it a lot here, so not that much difference of opinion. So, again, it is this Sunday Money in the Bank trendsetter. And, interesting, after Raw, I saw on the network something interesting, and that is the Holy Grail, the missing Bret Hart and Tom McGee tape. Now, trendsetter, you asked me beforehand, what is the lore? What is the mystery about this tape? Well, basically, Tom McGee is a guy that, once Vince McMahon was looking at Hulk Hogan and was like, okay, who's going to be the next guy? This is before Warrior. Tom McGee was like, let me just say that if Warrior and Kerry Von Erich had a kid, out would come Tom McGee. So basically, Bret Hart and Tom McGee had a match where Vince was like, hey, Bret, pal, can you go have a match with Tom McGee? And let's see what this guy's got. Long story short, they have a great match. And then, a couple matches later, I think he wrestles Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. He has a series of matches. And for some rhyme or reason, he just didn't have it. Vince didn't feel comfortable making Tom McGee the next guy. So now this tape here has gone MIA and only a few select copies. And actually, this girl in New Jersey actually had one of the tapes. She was in this documentary on the network, and it's like, you have card collectors, there's actually pro wrestling tape traders, and tape trading was very popular in the 80s and 90s, and so it got converted onto DVDs, and so it's been found, and they actually talked to Tom McGee and with Brett. And finally, they showed the match, the lost match between Tom McGee and Bret Hart. Very interesting, just because the fact that Conrad Thompson and Starcast are going to do their meet and greet for Double or Nothing. And that was going to be one of the things, the whole Tom McGee and Bret Hart. But a lot of people were saying, oh, man, Vince is trying to get at Starcast and he's trying to rain on their parade by having this documentary, but it's been in the works for a while. But again, though, it's something you got to watch, Trendsetter. This guy Tom McGee, I swear to God, it is like if Ultimate Warrior and Kerry Von Erich had a kid, out came Tom McGee. And I don't know why it didn't last, but he's out of the business, and he's definitely, you could tell that he's lost a lot of mass. He's not the same guy. But still, though, very happy that we're still following the matchup, that we like his matchup, and he's very honored, but he's out of the business.
Yeah, well, again, it's been that long. It's amazing that this is the one thing that was never really found. And, you know, timing is everything, though. So as much as it's been in the works, the timing which it happened closer to AEW and what's going to happen with StarCast, kind of funny. Yeah. I don't believe in coincidences, Jeff, and I don't think this one was a coincidence.
And the funny thing, Trendsetter, is that the star they were looking for was in that ring because Bret Hart ended up becoming the featured, you know, WWF champion, you know, and he was the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Of course, we all know the Montreal Screwjob. But before that, though, he was the man in WWE / WWF. So, yeah, so, guys, check that on the network. It's a really good a watch. It's a must-watch, actually. And so, Trendsetter, again, glad to have you back here on the show. We did post on Twitter. Just want to get your feedback because we were doing Fantasy Matchup, and we'll have this every month, too, trying to add some spice into the WWE, into the debate of who's better. So, the question was, Kenny Omega or Shawn Michaels, who you got? And so, we got great feedback from Twitter. So, Marin Cass Chaos, again, who's really contributing here on the show, says he would take Kenny Omega. He is my favorite wrestler in the world right now. He is a fantastic action wrestler. All his matches are insane. However, if we refer to the storytelling, he doesn't compare with the legendary Shawn Michaels. A match between the two would be great and maybe one of the greatest of all time.
Wow, that's saying a lot right now in terms of you have two great storytellers in the ring. You're definitely getting magic considering the fact that they've never faced or ever touched before, but yeah, that's great insight. I would agree with that.
Who would you say has the edge? Who would you have picked?
Now, we're talking about Shawn Michaels in his prime, of course, with Kenny Omega right now.
Which he is in his prime now.
I don't think we have enough time in the show. That could be a whole show right there just talking about that.
If you had to give the edge, though.
I mean, think the edge to somebody right now. I would have to speak Kenny, though. The reason why I say that is Shawn Michaels in his prime was somebody who went on instinct, was very emotional. Kenny seemed to, in his matches, especially his trilogy with Okada, seems to control those emotions. So as time went down, the stakes got higher, he could control himself to the point where he wasn't going on instinct and pure emotion. He was very calculated and very cunning in what he was doing. So I would have to give the psychological edge to Kenny Omega in the matchup between these two. And I, you know, it's not by much, but I would have to pick Kenny.
All right, more feedback by the crew here. At number one, Fan Tyson writes, and that's at one Fan Tyson. He goes, it's cool, because I did mention, too, what faction, the Bullet Club or the Click, right? So he writes, it's cool, but Bullet Club wouldn't have lasted with the Click, and they were worldwide known, unlike Bullet Club, who were incredible, but nothing like the Click in that time. We also have, at Rebuild Reclaim 8 goes, also, the Click had more stroke and stayed the same members over the years. The Bullet Club had so many good variations that it might even be argued Omega didn't even have the best group. Omega told a better story, though, because of his love for wrestling. And he goes on to say, I think the question is, what era Michaels are we talking about? Because if it's the late 90s, it's not a question of who put over, but if Michaels would even be willing to put over, or would he lose his smile and take the hiatus while Omega was champ? That's a good point.
Yeah, sure.
And also, WEBEJ, he writes, Kenny Omega over Michaels. Omega tells better stories by far. Bullet Club over the Click, but it's hard to compare. BC Bullet Club played out in front of the cameras while the Click was a lot of backstage stuff, so it was easier to get behind the Bullet Club story. Guys, thank you so much for your feedback.
Great insights.
And I would take, honestly, the only reason why I would take Sean is because it's just a different era. But again, though, there has to be that pioneer. There has to be that trailblazer. And when you talk to a lot of the wrestlers now, who do they mention? You mention, if you see the PC, who does everybody consider the greatest of all time? Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And while Kenny Omega, listen, I love his stuff, and I'm more a fan of wrestling now than I am before, the only reason I would give Shawn Michaels the edge is because there has to be a pioneer. There has to be a guy that starts it all. Now, yes, I give credit to Bret Hart for the technical aspect, and he really contributed to the smaller guy. I believe he was the first smaller guy to be the world champion that, you know, away from the Hogans and all the big guys that before him. But I think Shawn Michaels and what he did in the ring, the more... He was more, let's just say he was more glamorous in the ring than Bret was, right? Yeah. So I would go Shawn just because he was more of a trailblazer and he was one of the first to do it. So you got to give him that credit. And, you really can't lose picking one. So you say Kenny, and I believe his storytelling is better, and he did have a passion for it. But I believe that Shawn Michaels did love wrestling too, but I just think he was too emotional. And you can also put into play his mental state, because Shawn wasn't always happy, you know? And he would not put a guy over. Kenny, of course, is a guy who's willing to put a guy over. He was willing to have those matches with Okada. He's willing to have all those, you know, all those hour-long matches and tell a story. So as much as I love Kenny now, I would give the edge to Shawn Michaels simply because of the era, and he was a trailblazer. He was the pioneer. He is Mr. WrestleMania. So the edge, I think, would go to Shawn Michaels. But that was great debate, Trendsetter. Thank you so much to the crew for, again, stepping up and helping us out here with that segment, the fantasy matchup segment that you'll have every month here on the High Spot Podcast, because we're trying to change things up. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Also, like and subscribe for the YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast. Follow us on the website, highspotpodcast.com. And again, guys, you can listen to the visual. Get the visual of the show on YouTube. Of course, we're on bodyslam.net. And we want to thank Selena De La Renta for joining us on the show. Catch us on the B+ Player Radio Network and Shining Wizards. Again, Trendsetter, Money in the Bank. We'll recap it next week. Talk about Double or Nothing. So much more, guys. We want to thank you all, because without you, we are nothing. And we do this for you, guys. We do it for the crew.